for tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Ronnie Bejou of Louisiana is the minister.
Praise the Lord.
Stand to your feet, please. Open your Bibles to the Gospel of John, the third chapter. If you're not saved, you need to get saved so you can understand what I'm going to tell you. If you're not sure you're saved, get saved again. And if you don't have the Holy Ghost, get a hold of it, because it will definitely get a hold of you. Amen? The Bible says in John chapter 3, verse 1, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus. We call him Nick at night. His name means Nike. Ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now notice he prefaces that by saying you cannot see. About to look at your neighbor and says, Can you see? Nicodemus said unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Look at your neighbor and say, You need the Holy Ghost. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, You must be born again. This is the verse I want to get to today to use for a launching pad. I'm going to be ministering on the subject this morning on the winds of God. Everybody say the winds of God. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but cannot tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born again. Heavenly Father, we thank you today for your marvelous word. We thank you for your precious spirit. We certainly thank you for your love. We certainly thank you for your wisdom and your help. And Father, we thank you today as we communicate this word to your people. I pray that you would help to articulate every word and bring forth every word that was born out of the Spirit. And Father, we'll give you all the praise and all the glory for what you do in our lives from this day forth. And the people of God said, Amen. You may be seated. Turn to the prophet Jonah. Most of you are familiar with Jonah's little episode. You might call it a fishing expedition. Jonah is obviously a prophet of God, operating with prophetic utterance. Not like Nicodemus, who is a rabbi, but began to have a desire and a hunger in his life that he would begin to slip out at night and look for Jesus. How many of you know when God's fixing to take you out of something and bring you into something else, sometimes you feel like you tiptoeing and want to kind of sneak around to find out who's watching you? Can I get an amen?
Amen.
And so this morning, if I may impart some knowledge to you, quite a few years ago when I was traveling, the Lord began to talk to me about coming into an understanding of the winds of God. And the winds of God in the Old Testament, the word winds is the word ruach. It means breath and life, and almost synonymous in the New Testament, the word pneuma is the same and also means spirit. And I believe in the time that we're living in that it is so prophetic that there are winds that begin to blow in our direction, and if we don't understand the purposes of the winds of God, then we stand in opposition of what God wants to do in our lives. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
Can I get another witness?
Amen.
Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Are y'all awake?
Yeah.
Are you full of breakfast?
Yeah.
Are you full of self?
Yeah.
Are you full of God? You don't have to say yes about everything. Do you know what you believe? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Jonah chapter 1 says, Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise and go to Nineveh, the great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. Now, how would you like to receive a word like that from God? How many of you believe you've already received a word like that from God? So why are you sitting, and why aren't you not going to the city? Come on, shout hallelujah when I'm telling you the truth. Glory to God. The winds of God have purposes in our life, people. And so the first wind that I want to speak about is the wind of rest. It's an east wind. And most of you know the stories of Jonah, so I'm going to do a lot of paraphrasing today. Is that all right? Because for the time span, I'm only have about 58 more minutes. So I'm going to try my best to give you a full comprehension of what the winds of God are. And so the east wind speaks of chastisement, it speaks of a place of teaching, and it speaks of a new day. How many of you believe that we are in a new day? Hallelujah. How many of you believe that we're now operating out of another dimension, and it's not the dimension of the flesh, and it's not after the priesthood of the Levites? That we're operating from another priesthood, from a higher realm, because our Father is not operating from the earth. He's operating from heaven to the earth, and we're connected to God, and therefore we are operating out of a higher realm, out of the order of Melchizedek, because we have become the Zadok priests of God. If you don't know anything about Zadok, go and do some homework. Hallelujah. God says we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I make no apologies if I'm loud, because I'm loud when I'm talking on God's behalf. I want you to hear me, and I want the devil to hear me at the same time. Are you with that?
Amen.
Now, though east winds are blowing, so if you look at me on verse 4, that the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea. And we know that many times Scripture tells us that the sea speaks of multitudes of people. And there are going to be times, saints of God, that you are faced with situations and you're standing against adversity where you need to understand that the purpose of this wind is to bring change in your life. I'm not talking about the kind of stuff you put in your pocket. I'm talking about making a complete God face. And sometimes God wants you to stop the things that you're doing and begin to understand and comprehend what he wants you to do and the purpose of you being there. Now, we know that Jonah's name means dove, but sometimes he acted more like the devil than he did a dove. Oh, y'all not going to help me preach. And so here he gives him a word. He said, I want you to go. Maybe I'm too short. You can't see me. He said, I want you to go to Nineveh. And maybe Nineveh is your backyard. Maybe Nineveh is people that you don't want to have anything to do, but God is very much interested in them because they're made after his image. And they don't understand the heritage that belongs to them because they haven't come into this knowledge. And here you're standing with this prophetic mantle and you're a coward.
Amen.
Because you ought to be saying what God said. Because if you're not sure of what you believe, you're not sure of what you're saying. Come on, Brother Rod, help me say amen back there. Praise God. Thank you, brother. Hallelujah. I got somebody on my side back there, all the way to the left. Look at Brother Rod and wave at him. And sometimes, when we're going in one direction, and God wants you in another direction, the purpose begins to change because you're going contrary to the way he wants you to go. When I began to see this operate many years ago, we were pastoring our first church, and this missionary walked in. And right in the middle of my sermon, God had the audacity to ask me to prophesy to him. Didn't God understand that I was right out of Faith Bible College? And I could confess the word and confess the word until I was blue in my face, but nothing seemed to change. And this missionary walked in and the Lord said, you are going in the wrong direction. And began to prophesy a word to him. And he said, you know, I was halfway down the railroad track, and the Lord said, I want you to go back to the main street of this place and walk into that building. I have a word for you. And gave him the same word the Lord gave him on the track. So I had to consider what was more important, my message or the Lord's message. Hello? Now we realize that Jonah did not have a heart for the Ninevites. And we also realize that he began to develop this self-righteousness that was not the righteousness of God. Now, I know that some of you have never done that, child of God. You have never walked in self-righteousness. You've never tried to make yourself right. But all your life, your mama told you, you better act right. And you've been trying to act ever since. Isn't that right? All right. I got some few folks in here that want to listen. And so now we come to the reason for the win is that you don't run from God, but you run to Him. Just because the Spirit of the Lord or the wind of God begins to blow in a different direction that you are accustomed to, that doesn't mean there's a devil tied to the other end of it. Now, there may be a devil when you get there. And there may be a devil that will try to stop you from getting there. How am I doing so far? But when this wind begins to blow, you need to give full attention to God. Come on, help me now. Hallelujah. We've got three more winds after this. You better help me preach. Sometimes our disobedience will make those around us fearful and doubtful. Can you imagine what these Israelites thought about Jonah? They heard the word of the Lord, told him, arise. He didn't say, if you think about it, son, if it'll fit in your schedule today, would you consider going to Jonah? He says, arise and go. That means you got to get up from where you are right now and go to a place you've never been before. And I'm going to tell you, the first thing you're going to encounter is fear of failure. Well, what if I didn't hear from God? Well, what if you did? All right? So you have to realize you have to not only fight with the optimist, you have to fight with the pessimist. And he begins to tell you the enemy of your soul comes down. Now, you remember the last time you told people you believed God and you heard from God and you got off and you just made a big old flop. Well, hallelujah. Join the club of floppers. Like it was going to be the last thing that ever happened to you. Come on. Come on, we're going to do a little planting. You heard the prophet say to me last night that I was a planter, so I'm going to plant a little bit, okay? We're going to dig a little bit something here today, because I don't have time to get into expository teachings, because we don't have enough time. It would take the whole camp meeting, so let's move on. God, listen to this thought, will use whatever measure it takes to get your attention. Amen. We have a meal we make in South Louisiana called gumbo. But it's a good stuff. And generally, when we don't get our way, we pout. How many of you have ever pouted? Well, in my culture, we call it big lips and we call it lip gumbo. And God will absolutely let you have all the big lip service you want to have until you get so out of yourself that you get into Him. Come on, I'm helping you now. God will allow you to get out of your soul and get out of yourself and go beyond yourself to get you to a place, and He will take whatsoever measure He needs to take to get your attention. Now, can you imagine yourself and your behavior and your mindset and your attitude? I don't want to go to Nineveh. I got better things to do. I planned a vacation that week. My grandkids are coming in. My mother's called me twice to go fix her pipes. Don't you know that I'm busy? Hello? And so God wants to bring a new thing in your life, and you're still stuck in a rut wanting to do the old thing. So the east wind begins to blow, and He wants to bring newness in your life. Then He begins to tell these old boys while he's on board, He says, I'm a Hebrew. Well, that made a good impression. Well, brother, I'm a prophet. Well, whoop-dee-doo. We need to get rid of some stuff. Well, y'all need to pray. I'm going to sleep. There was another guy who slept one time, but he had a little more wisdom. Hello? And so, God is not interested in your pedigree. He's not interested in your titles. And what's your occupation? He's only interested in your obedience. Is He not? All right, let's move along. So, the Lord sent a great wind. What is a great wind? Something bigger than you. Isn't that deep? I know y'all all came here to get some of my deep revelations. So, gentlemen, pull up your pants leg. Lady, take off your shoes. It's going to be a little deep. When God sends something like a great wind, it's obviously something that's going to blow in your direction to try to change your course. And here you are. How many of you have ever stood at a 120-mile hurricane? I know we don't have a whole lot of hurricanes up here, but at home we do. it would be wise for you to go inside. I've seen idiots tie themselves to poles and want to see how hard the wind could blow, see if the wind could take the rope off. Well, it not only took the rope, it took the pole too. We call that some good Cajun ingenuity. Now let's move along. In verse 17, the Bible said that the Lord created a great fish. The fish speaks to us in prophetic language of a system. And obviously, Israel had come out of situations in their relationship with God where they had been in bondage in the Babylonian kingdom. And how many of you know, when we come to the Lord, we brought some garbage with us? Look at your neighbor and say, you brought some stuff with you. Have you ever noticed when there was a wind blowing in your direction that this wind or this spirit didn't agree with you? He said, boy, you got some stuff with you. That means they don't agree with you. And so when God comes in, he wants the stuff. Oh, y'all not going to help me preach. He told Saul, he said, now I know that you're king of Israel, but when you kill all those ites, don't leave anything standing. So Lot kept the Lexus, the bank accounts, the gold, the silver. I mean, come on. If he was living today and he said, now that I'm king, I'm going to speak over it. I'm going to sanctify it. The Lord says, kill all of it. Don't keep the best stuff, because it's the best stuff that you keep might come back and be your opposition. Oh, come on and help me a little bit. Now, when the wind is blowing in this direction, it has a purpose and a reason. Come on, Doc, help me preach. Get him a microphone. And so we begin to bellow with all this stuff. Now we see there's a purpose of the fish. The purpose of the fish is to swallow you up. Oh, bro, that's deep. Now, I know that Doc talked about our catfish. And I know in Leviticus it says it's unclean. But a lot of my relatives eat that stuff. Now, watch. You might want to argue with me. I may not have my theology right or my theory proper. In another part of the Bible, it says it was a whale. That's pretty big. So, if I was home, this is the way I'd preach it to my neighbors. If you don't like the way things are going, God's going to send you a big old catfish bigger than you. He's going to swallow you up. Because you see, when they threw him overboard, where did he land? That's right. He tried to swim. Come on. He tried to swim. Oh, come on. You know you're trying to swim. You know you're trying to get. I'm talking to somebody. You know in your life, some areas of your life, you're trying to get away from God. So he's trying to swim away. Then he dog paddles. Oh, man. Then backstroke. He's doing everything he can. And this big sucker with big long antenna comes up. And he looks at that ugly, unclean thing and he says, my God, this thing is bigger than I am. But I am a prophet, a Hebrew of Hebrews. How did I end up in this mess? Trying to run from him instead of to him. Now, what a joyride. Y'all know what catfish eat? Not just sardines, because they're in the pond. Dead stuff. Now, I preached on the opening service that God was changing our spiritual climate. Now, I want you to have this picture in your mind right now. You're about to face the largest catfish you have ever seen in your life, and it's big enough to swallow you. And in that catfish, there's a message. And this song begins to develop in your mind. Because you read the Bible says, touch not the unclean thing. Right? And then you begin to think about the buzzards. And this little song begins to come on up and says, I've never seen a vulture eating a moving cow. I've never seen a vulture eating a moving cow. And Jonah said, I've got another phrase that I've never seen a catfish fixing to swallow me up. It's so big. What am I going to do now, God? I can't cast it out. You can't cast it out because God brought it up. And whatever Father brings up is going to be on the menu. He said, Jonah, you don't want a baby boy? I've got measures and I'm going to get your attention. I'm sending a fish that is going to swallow you. It's a system. And it will bring nothing but mass confusion in your life. But Donna, don't be afraid. Now, this is for the third day people. You know, third day people. Everybody wants to go in the Holy of Holies. We're so spiritual. Oh, glory. Hallelujah. Whee! Jesus! Glory! Hell, hallelujah. 3 days. Acid reflux. I left all my Rolaids on the counter. And the ship gets rocky because the catfish don't have the good sense that God gave them. Instead of, they don't stay up on top of the water and bob too long. They got a little oxygen, bob, and phew, way back to the bottom. And the Bible tells us that they had seaweeds. Oh, that all preaches. They had stuff that he was entangled with. The Bible says to beware that you don't get involved in every wind of doctrine and get tangled. Beware that you're not following a man, but you're following the Christ man, the anointed one that is inside of you. And after 3 days, Jonah got a revelation. Y'all help me, preach. He said, maybe I need to pray. His wife, he gets home and his wife says, oh, honey, you smell bad. If we do not adhere to the promptings of God, He loves you enough, like the prophecy said this morning, to let you go for a ride. But He has full intentions on bringing you back. Now, you may not smell good. And I promise you, it will change your opinion. You're not going to come back with the same mindset. And for the first time in your life, perhaps you will understand the gravity of prayer. And it's going to be more than our Father who art in heaven. Our Father who is in the belly of this fish with me. You mean He was in there with Jonah? Who do you think gave him breath? Or you can find all the scientific matter about it, but I believe the very Spirit of God placed him in a cocoon and gave him breath for 3 days and three nights. And so now He gives him another reason to think. He said, now I'm fixing to spew you out because you're not hot and you're not cold. Now, folks, the Bible says that the imperative move in the English grammar says that it makes a statement of facts. And so it paints a picture in your mind. Can you imagine these little boys on the bank, Brother Rod? When he got out of there, white, slimy, smelly. He didn't have all his nice Hebrew robes. He didn't have his prophet garment or his priestly garment. They couldn't tell Jonah from somebody that just come out the pit. And can you believe the word of Jonah when he began to prophesy again? He had reverence and he had respect for God. And he had made up his mind, I am never going to go against the wind of God. When He begins to blow in my direction, I'm turning this vehicle around, glory to God, and I'm going to go no matter what the cost. Yeah. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Bible said the waves, the winds created the waves. And He continued to beat upon him. Four factors involved: water, waves, winds, and weeds. When we sit on a beachhead and we watch all these waves coming in, be assured there's a wind, a force behind that wave that brings it in. And the sea vomits and delivers herself. Some of you will get that in just a moment. Now, everybody say now. Let's move on. Chapter 3, the Bible said the Lord blew on him again. What do you thought by now? Dear Jesus, I had enough. This is it, God, I quit. Do we believe that God is repetitive? Is it possible, even conceivable, that God Almighty will have to speak to us more than once about a particular subject? I think we need to take a course in the theology of stupidity. We are created in the very image of God, in the likeness of God, and He loves us with every fiber of His being. And yet, He had to speak to him twice. But when God uses the name of a person in the Bible, and there's a double enunciation, it's a double blessing, but this time it's not a double blessing. Because to get him to change, he has to reprove him. He has to correct him. Now, I know there are other preachers in here. Now, for you who are in a pastoral position, God is going to begin to take your wishbone and convert it to a backbone, to when you're going to begin to use the Word of God with authority, and not only would you love Him and pedicake Him, you're going to begin to reprove them and correct them and set them right in the order of the doctrine of God and doctrines of Christ, and not pedicake them when they're full of dead men's bones and sin, and tell them it is time for us to have a change in the house. Living in adultery, fornicating, said, oh, he's so sweet. God understands. He loves. No, he does not understand that. And he made a way for you to get out of it. Choices change our destinies. Of course, we could go on in some different operations. Hallelujah. So, now we move to another prophet named Moses. Come along with me. We'll call this the winds of deliverance. This is the deliverance camp, right? Are y'all not sure where you are? See, the West. The West speaks of a place where God causes the winds to begin to drive your enemies out. Because it's the end of an age. I'm not too sure. You want to go into this? It's an end of an age, so that means Father is not going back there anymore. What used to work yesterday may not work today. And so what he's doing with us, he's pulling out all of the formats. Come on. All of our 1, 2, 3 steps. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You know, we have these 4-day seminars. How to get right with God. How to get prosperous. How to go on. But I want to tell you, every day with God is a new day. Every day you're born again, afresh and anew. And so if you try to bring the doctrines of your forefathers into present-day reality, you're going to be a people most miserable. That worked then, this works now. When's the kingdom? Tomorrow? No, the kingdom's right now. When's the acceptable time? Now. I'm doing good. Where did I send you? I don't know. Exodus chapter 10. Moses means drawn. Draw me close to you. Never let me go. Da 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 dee da dum. I love that song. You? Why don't you get up and sing it if you know it? Da da dee da dum. Yeah. Well, brother, God didn't anoint me to sing, me either. Just join the club. Exodus 10. I love to sing. So now God has to bring a wind that will begin to destroy the plagues. Y'all remember, what was that? My wife doesn't remember that. She's not much on TV. Was it Treasure Island or Pleasure Island? Tattoo, the little midget? How many of you know what I'm talking about? I always thought he said, the plague, the plague, the plague. He was saying, the plane. And I thought, what? What's this little midget talking about? And I thought, Lord, I know that my hearing sometimes needs to be helped. But is he saying the plague, the plague, the plague? Or is he saying the plane, the plane, the plane? Not to hold tight. The winds of deliverance are going to begin to manifest. And to begin to hear this wind, it has a roaring sound. Satan has a meow sound.
Meow.
1 Peter 5. He comes as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He didn't say he would devour you. He may. But God, through the power of his word and deliverance, is raising a people that can hear the roar of the wind, and they begin to hear the roar of a mighty lion, the tribe of Judah. And once you hear the roar of that lion, you know that he's king of the beasts. And symbolic of, I'm king of kings. There is none like me. And kings have authority. And whenever they use the word, it's authoritative. Now he has Moses. The only man in the Old Testament writings that has a double office of priest and prophet. You know, let me run that by me one more time. He's not only prophet, but he's priest. See, a prophet gets this utterance from God, and he begins to sound forth the alarm. But the priest, he spends daily in his presence worshiping him. You know the difference between a prophet and an administrator? When a prophet gets a vision from God, he's on go. Whoop! I'm gone. But God gave an administrative ability also in the body to help you get all the facts before you get out there and shipwreck somebody. Are you with me? Now, Exodus 10:1 said, and the Lord said unto Moses, go into unto Pharaoh, for I have hardened his heart and the heart of his servant, that I might show these my signs before him. So God is roaring now, and he's beginning to speak to Moses' heart, to his spirit. And there's a purpose. He said, I want to deliver people from the Pharaohs and the religious system. What is a Pharaoh anyway? Anything that has rule and dominion over you that is not of the same suit as the Lord Jesus. He can be a king in your life. Things that have will withstand you and will come against you. But God has a wind blowing in your direction. So if your ear is inclined, like my wife talked about the other one, if your ear is inclined, if your ear is nailed, come on, to the door. All the smoke is coming off the altar, and the smoke's there to protect you, because if you stood in the presence of God in human flesh, you would die. But the smoke goes into the Holy of Holies, and so when the high priest came in, it protected them. But now, we can go into the Holy of Holies, and we don't have to have the smoke. You go as you are, and you receive the instructions from God, and you begin to hear the wind. Now, I'm going to try to demonstrate. I cannot find the perfect demonstration. But it has been my experience when I traveled that I heard the winds of God in different facets. And one time I was in a church service and I just stood there like I was dumbfounded. I couldn't speak. And the wind of God began to just blow and just... And I'd see these fireballs go... And back in the very back part of this auditorium, I saw the angels flaming. And then this stuff started coming and falling on top of the heads of the people. And I saw mass deliverance and healing take place. I'm going. And you know what I saw? I got this picture in my mind's mind. Years ago when we first went to the theater, it was 15 cents to go into the movie house. That tells you how young I am. And everything is pitch black, and the curtains pull back, and you hear this thing. Well, by that time, I'm sunk in my seat. A young kid, this humongous animal begins to roar. And every time this wind would begin to bellow in the sanctuary, I would hear God behind me go, he's a conquering king. He said, you tell them, you want a piece of me? Come this way. And all the little imps and demons, we'd be going through the walls and through the ceilings and everywhere. And you would hear all this noise and the commotion. And all of a sudden, it would become a holy hush. And you know, if you don't ever get quiet before God, your thoughts can scare you. And so Moses has to hear, because he has all this pressure of his congregation. How many of you pastors ever been pressured by your congregation? Come on. Are you in here? Can I get an amen? Can I get a hallelujah? Can I get a praise the Lord? Oh, glory to God! Yeah, well, we can. The roar of the lion comes with clarity. You don't mix him up with a little pussycat. It's a distinct sound. Yes. Not to your natural ears. Isn't that wonderful?
Yeah.
It's amazing. We're supposed to be king's kids, and we're kings and priests unto the Lord, and we walk around like we're a bunch of titty babies. And I'm... This is what our morning, Sunday morning service goes.
I can just praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I just came to praise the Lord.
We have all the Christianettes up there. And they got that little pom-pom and they're just going,
oh, yeah, hallelujah.
And the devil comes. And they go, oh, Brother Robbie, the devil's after me. Well, do something about it. Blow on him. Verse 2. We're doing good, brother. He said, that thou mayest tell in the ears of thy... Who? Is that what your Bible says? And of the sons' sons, what things I have wrought in Egypt, and my signs which I have done among them, that you may know how that I am the Lord. I call that a reason to show and tell. I don't know if this... I'm an observer. I don't know if this has ever crossed your mind. I like to tune in into people's conversations. Watch them. And if I had to believe the report of most believers, I would be afraid of the devil. God had a prophet named John. He's in prison. And he sends one of the boys, says, would you go and see what Jesus is doing? Bring me back a report. So they do this. And they came back. And then they went back, and the word to the Lord says, he said, go tell what you see and what you hear. Here's a man who has not lost his focus, who is not afraid of the devil, and he's fixing to lose his head. He knows he is, because he ratted on so-so having an affair with a little chicky babe. I'm going to tell you something. God's going to clean up the church. There's a lot of hanky-panky going on. I love my wife, and I'm going to tell you, as a traveling preacher, I had more propositions than quarter had liver pills. It's show and tell. A young woman came to me one night. There was another brother with me, and I like to say like this preacher from Virginia, she was drop-dead gorgeous. You understand that, don't you? Whispered sweet things in my ear, and I said, excuse me? I couldn't believe my ears. I said, excuse me? I said, is that your pastor? Mm-hmm. I said, come with me, darling. I brought all the way up to the front, and I said, turn your mic off, Pastor. I said, this woman has a problem with lust. And she just asked me if I would consider breaking my covenant with God and my wife just for one night, hanky-panky. And nobody would know anything about it. Oh, somebody would know something about it. God Almighty would know something about it. The devil would know something about it. And my wife would know something I wouldn't have to tell her. Isn't it amazing? When the winds of deliverance begin to come in our direction, we want to hide instead of stand up and be transparent. God is bringing us into a day where we're going to be transparent. There will be nothing hidden. Well, one guy says, man, I wish I'd have got me a stick like Moses. The stick had nothing to do with the parting of the waters. Can you imagine? We would go to the bookstore, Brother Mike, and just get us some holy sticks.
Wouldn't that be nice?
I might have given you an idea. Watch it now, brother. And then you're going to write all the scriptures on it. Devil, you better be well. I'm going to whoop you with this stick. The same stick that Moses parted the Red Sea with, I'm going to punch your head. The stick had nothing to do with it. It was a man standing as an ambassador of Christ in the obedience of the Lord as a son of God and had all the heat of his congregation because now, you know, Pharaoh and the boys are pressing on. I mean, I can hear the chariots. And I want you to know in the midst of that wind blowing, Moses got a song. I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously, horse and rod and thrown into the sea. Hey, hey, hey! In a hurry. He forgot all about the stick. And he began to praise God. Come on. He had the hands of God. He had the ministry of God to part every situation and to bring the vision where he needed. And when the water was taken out or the spirit out of the way, the land was dry. And they walked on it. He could have walked on the water, you know. In case y'all think Peter was the only great guy. This happened more than once in Scripture. So he stands there, and I have to think like Moses. Just for a minute, Brother Ross says, this is stupid. This is a dumb stick. Can you imagine the billboards or the marquees? The First United Stick Church. Isn't that amazing? As humans, we always want to be first. Hello? The First United Stick are the only deliverance stick of Hot Springs. Now, Exodus 19. I told you I had to paraphrase. There's way too much stuff. Let's take a look at when this roar begins to develop, it becomes a challenge. It becomes a prophetic input, not a ripoff. Do you know how dangerous it is to walk around with a prophetic mantle? Oh, brother. I see the Lord's going to give you $2 million. I see you placing money in my hand because you have a heart after God. Do you know what the world thinks about that? About as much as they think about dialing the 1-900 numbers. Or these big boys, when they, and I don't want to name names, I don't believe in that. There was a time where they had a number where you could call for $150, you could get a word from God. Do you think it's possible that Moses didn't have to face any false prophets? Can you imagine the intensity when he looks around? He not only sees all of Israel coming, he sees the chariots and the dust bellowing in the back. I don't think he had a moment to go back to the Bible and say, what was that scripture again, Lord? I believe that he operated out of a prophetic utterance, but out of the overflow of the time that he spent with God behind the mountain in communicating with his Father. And the orchestra, like Father Rod said the other night, it couldn't string a string. It just was not fair. Nobody could play Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound, Who Saved a Wreck Like You. Not a wretch, a wreck. And so he had to get it first-hand information. And Moses was going to go and do something that would just rain in our ears for thousands of years. Little kids walking around, it's so precious, telling the story about Moses and how the Red Sea parted. They know they had nothing to do with the stick. It's that God parted the sea. That which we don't teach our children fantasies. We teach them this, that you have to have a real relationship with God. My granddaughter is going to be 5 years old next month, and when we turn the cable TV on, we want to hear certain preachers that we like. She doesn't like all the ones I like. And she can tell you if they have an anointing. She'll get in the middle of the floor and she'll go, oh, thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. She tells me, she says, Dad, I'm a worshiper. You know, anybody from Tennessee, Philadelphia, worship. You got to worship God. I'm a worshiper. And brother so-and-so, whether he has degrees or not, comes on, she goes, you want to play with the puzzle? And I began to notice that, and I said, something's not right here. And so, every day, the same folks would come on, so I'd put them, and she did the same thing repeatedly. And there's one particular guy, he's a preacher-teacher, and I'd be in the kitchen cooking, she said, Daddy, 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 Brother Mike's on! Brother Mike's on! I like Brother Mike. I'm turning him off. Oh, man! She goes, let's sit down, Dad, and watch Brother Mike. Brother Mike's anointed. Is it possible? We've been following winds that are not anointed. Is it possible we have been ingrained with doctrines because we couldn't discern the wind? Exodus 19, verse 5 says, now therefore, now we can't go where to, we've got to go therefore. If you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me and all people, for all the earth is mine, and you shall be unto me a kingdom of Moses. Did not have the same mindset as Aaron. Aaron speaks to us of priest and pastor who is willing to compromise so they won't lose their congregation. So if they come up with ideology, oh man, could we build a calf here or could we build a calf, Bubba? Bring all the silver and the gold. Let's bring us a calf. We don't know if Moses will ever come back. Of course, what a surprise the old boy had when he come off the hill, backside of the mountain, and all this stuff is established. But wait, the script, if you don't think the devil had something to do with it, the scripture doesn't say after they melted it, they put it in the mold, Doc. It says when they threw it in the fire, out came out a golden calf. Wow! Well, that sale, we could put that on DVD, man. Hey, we could make a movie after that. You think Harry Potter knew something? Hello?
Somebody praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. The roar of God will stretch you. Exodus 14:21. Let's go back. The Bible says that Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go by back. This is what I want you to see. The hand speaks of ministry. Now, I'm going to do like my brother did last night, because I'm not afraid to say it. Now, you can mark me as a false prophet if you want to. That doesn't bother me one bit. Within the next 6 months, God is going to stretch some of you in your ministry like never before. I call it the rubber band concept. He'll stretch you as far as you let him. And, Bubba, you better not let go, because that elasticity is going to slap you right across your head, broadside. Bow! When Teacher Tudor wasn't watching me, I hired me one of them long rubber bands. And by the way, Sister Frances, I was good at it too. I just lay that sucker up when she's looking. Whack! And she go, ow! And the teacher say, Ronald. The teacher is supposed to know her students. God knows his children. And folks, this is not law versus grace. God wants us to enjoy the journey. But I want to tell you, if you get caught in a crosswind, you don't know which way that wind's supposed to take you, you're going to get off course. I'm telling you, if you don't start learning how to follow the Holy Ghost and quit following the preacher, you might end up in the wrong place. I remember some old boys come in time and says, well, Lord, maybe we should die with our brother. That's stupid. You can't die unless God says something for you to come home. Hello? What wind do you think people listen to when things like that are happening? So realize that this roar of God, this lion, will begin to stretch you. It will take you beyond natural abilities. I have to paraphrase a lot. Come on. When Moses pointed the stick, he was really pointing the prophetic finger of God. And he says, Bart. Now, I'm sure that you've seen Charlton Heston and the Ten Commandments. But it is so vivid in my mind how they made that with jello and all this kind of stuff. Can you imagine this roaring water just... and Moses standing there, and he points his finger and goes, Bart. And you look at the ground and it's dry. If you've ever pumped out a body of water, it does not dry immediately. So the children of Israel did not have to walk in muddy, contaminated, come on, bad doctrine, unrepented circumstances, miry places. They walked on dry land, and they didn't have to let the devil and the demons bite them like they did in the, wilderness for 40 years. God's not interested in teaching you a lesson by letting the devil beat on you. He created you to rule. And so you have to begin to take authority over the enemy. Who ever gave somebody the bright idea that the devil is going to whoop on you? And there were times of importation from him. Let's move on. Let's go to Acts chapter 27. Let's talk about a New Testament apostle, Paul. I think I can get it done. Help me, Jesus. Come on, Holy Ghost. We're doing good. Like I know that I would. Hallelujah. Like the song says, I know that we would. Look at your neighbor and says, I'm not in this by myself. There's something greater inside of me than what's coming out of me or coming against me. 1 John 4:4 says, greater, greater, greater. Now, while I'm on the prophets, you ever run across a prophet in a real bad mood? In the early chapters of Isaiah, Isaiah looks in time and he goes, whoa! Now, if I was in a classic Pentecostal church, I'd go, whoa! 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 So that's, I mean, they get real emotional. So you think, man, this something's not right here. I'm going to call Ezekiel. He gets on his cell phone, he goes, hey, Zeke. Yeah, Isaiah here. What's going on? He said, man, I've been in a real bad mood lately. All I keep hearing coming out of the throne of God is, whoa, 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 whoa. He said, Isaiah, You need to get your eyes focused on something else. He said, what's going on in your world? Ezekiel said, I see water coming out from underneath the threshold. Come on. Ezekiel was looking in time and Isaiah was looking in the present. And he said, Isaiah, let me give you a word. If you get your eyes focused on God, you get your eyes back where they need to be, you're going to sing a different song. And in just a few moments' time, Isaiah began to sing, holy, 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 the whole earth is filled with His glory. I saw the Lord, and He was lifted up, and His train filled the temple. Hallelujah. Get a vision like that, you ought to get excited.
Yeah.
Now, Ezekiel calls Isaiah, he says, Isaiah, yeah, this is Zeke. If that's not enough to thrill your soul, God had me prophesying the dead bones. He said He did what? He said, God had me prophesying the dry bones. He said, He did know. He said, show and tell. He said, dead bones, dry bones, live! Well, I don't know. Get out of your pity realm and live. There be more with you that be against you. Begin to speak to your situation. Begin to speak to your old dry, dead bones. And put on the armor of God. We move along in time and there's a south wind blowing and the south speaks of a refreshing, but the south wind also has contrary winds. And in time in Acts 27 when Paul was about to embark upon a ship, he speaks to us of apostolic input. And he told the boys, he says, I discern that this journey, boys, is going to be some ruffling of the feathers. We're going to have some rocky times, but be of good cheer. You're not going to die and everything would be all right. Come on. Now, can you imagine you're fixing to embark upon the ship and you know there's nothing but turmoil waiting for you. You're not on a cruise ship. You're not going to eat everything you want to. You might throw up most of what you ate because it's going to be rocky. And there's going to be some contrary winds that begin to take place. The scripture comes to my mind this morning when I was meditating on this. Psalm 25, verse 25 says, as cold water to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. How many of you know when you're on a rocky ship, you're looking and waiting for good news? A ship is a vessel. And God has made us vessels of righteousness. And I want to tell you that when your ship begins to sail, you're going to face turmoil. You're going to face consequences. I also want to tell you prophetically this morning that some of you, your ship has never left harbor yet. And your best days are right ahead of you. Come on, somebody say amen. Somebody in here today, you're a preacher, and you have felt like everybody has walked on you and trampled upon you and left you for dead. I want you to know something today, that your time is coming. God's going to take what used to be on the back burner and He's going to bring them to the forefront. Because God is raising sons after His own heart. He's not raising Levitical priests anymore. He's raising it after another order. After himself. See, Zadok wanted to please God first and foremost. And when you can get beyond your ministry and take up His ministry, then everything you do will be successful. In this ship ride, there would be reasons for brokenness. God's intentions would be known to them. He was beginning to mold and shape them in the vessels that He desired. And almost at the very end of their journey, I'm making this short, began to develop a release. I want to tell you, for some of you sitting in the sound of my voice and will hear this tape, you are in the very center in the season of your release. And God's going to begin to release some things in you that you have known have been there for a long time. And God's going to begin to take some of that dormancy that's been sitting inside of you, has been there all along, and take you out of that dormant stage and begin to bring you to the forefront. He's going to begin to develop things in you. You're going to think of yourself in a higher dimension than you've ever thought before. Jesus left us with great words. That you should love your neighbor as you love yourself. I've never known a man that hated himself so much that he beat himself up every morning back in blue. We take care of that old flesh, don't we? If we have to, we'll pepper it. We have to come into a place and a realm with God that we love God more than our own life. Job came into a place in his life that he desired God's Word more than his necessary food. There are times where winds begin to mix. There are times when you read in the book of Solomon, they begin to join together. There was a time in Solomon when the north wind called upon the south wind. And every time God blows the south wind in our direction, it's for refreshing. I may pop your bubble this morning, and that's all right, but we have not seen a real revival in our country yet. All we've had is refreshing wind. We have had some moves. But I want to tell you, in time when Father stands up, gets up from his throne, and he stands up and he comes into this present reality in time and he steps down, everything's going to begin to shake and bake. We'll feel like Jell-O going down the road. Lady, this is a good exercise. Watch me. And we'll hear the thunders. We'll feel the quakes. We'll see the lightning. And we'll hear the winds of God like we've never heard before. I'm telling you, there's a reality developing in our midst. When we begin to hear these sounds, you might think, well, you know, I've really gotten off. I must be losing it. You are. You're losing it so you can find it. You're losing your natural ability to find the ability of God. And folks, he'll do a better job. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. There's so much to share. The first thing that Paul has to encounter in this wind, the south wind blowing while they were aboard the ship, was the wind of determination. What was one of the things that God impressed upon the hearts of the people at Philippi? Philippians 1:6 said, being very confident of this very thing, he that began a good work in you, he shall accomplish it until the day of Jesus Christ. I want you to be encouraged this morning, church. Whatever God began in you, he will finish. Well, how do I ever get to this finished work? You're going to have to come to a time in your life and you're going to have to realize that he's operating out of a posture of rest. When he came to the woman at the well, he sat on the well for a little while. There were times in the season when the well was overflowing, but it came a time that she had to have a pail and you had to dig deep into the well, and well would speak to well, and life would begin to speak to life, and out of that life would become a rain and a rule that we have never known before. Hallelujah! She begins to blabber to God and tell her what's wrong with her. Said, you know, God, I've been married 5 times. And isn't the church in a pitiful state? That means that I've been through 5 ministries now. I'm sitting at home. I'm shacking up with myself. Come on, help me preach. And he said to her, if you knew the gift, if you knew what was standing before me, you would not ask me where my pail is. She was more interested that Jesus didn't have a bucket to draw water with. He says, I have water and abilities to give you, you know not what. And I guarantee you this, if you drink from these waters, you will never thirst again. So come on, students, what did she do next? She went to the elders of the city and said, y'all better come hear this man. Y'all need to come hear Rod Johnson. He's a man of God. Come on! Forget about his name. He has the gift of God. He said, this man, this prophet, told me everything that was about me. He said, now I got my right mind back. I've forgiven all those that have hurt me. I'm not looking at the past anymore. Some of you need to forgive your pastors that hurt you in the past, and you've gone on to something else. You brought those hurts with you. You brought that unforgiveness with you. You put all your stock in the man, you're going to fail most miserably. Come on. Somehow, in our makeup, we think that preachers need to be perfect. If you think that I'm perfect, come live with me. And if you're not convinced, ask my wife. Hallelujah. Come on, give the Lord praise. Glory to God. So there were winds of self-determination. Realize that you're going to face some resistance. But determination, without importation from God, will lead you to absolute frustration. If God didn't send you, you went. You were not sent. And so you've taken on another wind, another whiff of something you don't need to be smelling. And you're moving out of the arena where God has placed you. I'm going to leave you with an encouraging note in just a moment. Do you realize that self-determination can be provoked by a very opinionated people? Well, brother, if I was a pastor of the church, this is what I would do. And they might think you're sarcastic. Well, I realize what you would do, but since you're not the pastor of the church and I am, this is what we're going to do. Because I have a responsibility to lead you and guide you in the way the Lord spoke to me. Now, if you're not convinced, go where you're convinced. No problem. We tell our people, listen, we're not trying to get everybody in the city. We got a few seats for a few good folks. And if you know that God didn't, if you're not sure God sent you here, please, little heart, go find you someplace where you can park. If you want some tradition, there's plenty of that. If you want religion, there's plenty of that. No problem. But God never established a kingdom with opinionated people. Ladies, no offense. When your man is leading and guiding, there's some time that you need to be quiet. Because if you think you can be like Sarah and try to help Abraham out, come on. He was into this positive confession thing. And he confessed Ishmael into being. Now those fake boys would like this. He confessed it and confessed it and confessed it till he got a son of the flesh. And that son is still a thorn in his flesh today. That's why our boys are in harm's way. Fulfilling prophecy. Think about it. Some old Hagar spirit woman come up to you and say, maybe Sarah can't satisfy you, but I'll take care of you. Come on. Hagar's a seducing spirit. She knew all the lingo of the Hebrew language. She understood covenant. She was trained in the household of Abraham under the covenant. And she went out to the desert and had this self-pity party, and the angel of the Lord came to say, what are you doing out here? Oh, Sarah just whooped up on me real bad. But because God honors covenant, he said, I'm going to make Ishmael a great nation. But he's not the one. He's not the son of promise. Hello? We can have a lot of opinions and we can do a lot of good things, what we think is good for the kingdom. But if it's not birthed from the Spirit, it's not good enough. And that will lead you the way of the flesh and not the way of the Spirit. Am I making any sense to you? We got to get done now. Everybody say, let's get him done. You don't have to agree with everything. Now the north wind, we're closing. Turn with me. This is my one shot. I got to get it in. We're leaving in the morning. Hallelujah. Song of Solomon, chapter 4. We're done. Hallelujah. 5 more minutes. Song of Solomon, chapter 4. I could probably teach an hour or 2 or 3 hours on every one of those winds, but we don't have the time today. And I have. So turn with me there. The Song of Solomon, right after Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, hallelujah. I was going to preach when a man loves a woman, going to preach you the text of Solomon, but couldn't get into that today. The north wind is an interesting wind. It speaks of making righteous judgment. And it's a place, if you understand tabernacles, of true worship. Do we believe in our own local churches where we attend regularly that most of our worship groups could use a little help? And see, what we've done, we've taken people who are professionals. Come on with me. And we put them on the platform and we expect them to be anointed. They're not anointed, they're annoying. They make noise that does not please God. Even God loves them. They use that professionalism. And everybody thinks they're great because they can take the guitar for a ride. And well, great. Or play the trumpet. I was a horn man. I played trumpets for years. And I want to tell you the most anointed things that I've ever seen. My sister friend's not here today, so I'll say it. I was in the Church of God preaching. And Sister Mortimer couldn't hold a tune in the bucket. That's what they call it, Sister Mortimer. She was forever talking. And it come a holy hush in that church. And I thought, dear Lord, what now? And she started bellowing like a cow. I mean, I thought it was terrible. Her voice was horrible. And in just a few moments' time, the rain of God began to come in the church. It would hit the floor in the church, and then it would just double like waves. The pastor looked at me and he goes, she obviously had never sung in the church. But she began to have this prophetic song. How many of you have ever heard a prophetic song, Birth in the Spirit? And it was a warring song. She come up down that aisle, I tell you, with her little bun and her little her little jerk. By the time she got to the altar, she lost the jerk and the bun. And the anointing of God was breathtaking. What does the wind of God have to do with this? This one verse, I believe, will help you to understand it. Verse 16, Song of Solomon chapter 4 says, awake, all you true worshipers. Come on. All you righteous people, awake and sing out of your hearts and make melodies and hymns and spiritual songs out of your hearts and melody and sing unto the Lord Most High. And then he says, and come south, bring the refreshing with the anointing. Close your Bible. I kept you longer than I intended. The Lord leads next time we come, we might spend a little time prophesying to some of you as the Lord gives us utterance, but I believe that the Lord used God to prophesy to those who needed to get that word this morning, and I respect what God did. He just kind of set the stage, but I want you to stand to your feet. I want you to take both of your hands and put them all over your belly, and I'm going to lead you into a prayer, and I want you to believe everything that you say. I want you to say this and put faith in action. Say, Father, your word said, in my belly shall flow rivers of living water. I ask that you would give me discernment of spirit to discern the winds when they're blowing north, south, east, or west. Use it to teach me your ways. Open my ear to hear the sounds. Make it distinct. Sing it with clarity. And let me open up my mouth and prophesy the word of the Lord in due season, wherever I am. I loose myself from tradition and I call in the blessings and the glory and the anointing of the God Most High. And I declare that I am free and Jesus is Lord. Give Him praise. Hallelujah! 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 All right. One more thing and we're done. If you have never shouted in a church service, when you've been gathered together with believers, and you have always wished, I wish I had enough boldness to shout loud unto the Lord, this is your moment. In an atmosphere like this, any one of you could have come up here and preached. Are you ready to shout? I'm going to count to three. Are you ready? One, two, three. Hallelujah! Glory! Hallelujah.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.